买空调之音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年11月25日，星期三。我们再次荣幸的邀请到了来的陈朗可夫，为我们继续讲解《永恒的切坦念经》（Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita）。Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 23, Life's Ultimate Goal, Love of Godhead.
今天我们继续阅读《永恒的切坦念经》，是切坦念经怎么讲？《玛德利拉中篇逍遥》的第23章，生命的终极目标，对守神的爱。
Good morning from Shridharmayapur。
我们在 Shridharmayapur 向大家问好。
We are going to hopefully finish this chapter today。
希望我们今天能够把这一章讲完。
It's been quite a very nourishing。And educational chapter.
那这一章呢，给了我们很多的滋养，也给予了我们很多的知识。
The time that Lord Chaitanya has spent in total of 2 months with Sanatan Goswami.
啊，切坦尼亚马哈巴布和 Sanatan Goswami 一起相处了2个月的时间。
Was the foundational conversation to the process of bhakti yoga, which is available to everyone around the world today.
那么在这2个月当中，他讲到了整个 Krishna 知觉的修习的一个最基本的一些要点。而现在呢，在这个全世界的范围当中，大家都已经了解到了这个基础。
So we are given access to a wealth of knowledge.
所以呢，这就好比是一个知识的宝藏，而我们现在有幸步入其中。
But also a wealth of instructions.
啊，那同时呢，又充满着教诲。
Both by Lord Chaitanya and by Srila Prabhupada.
啊，那在这里面有切坦尼亚马哈帕布给我们的训示，也有 Srila Prabhupada 所给予我们的训谕。
And Srila Prabhupada being such an empowered acharya has not failed.To remind us of how to apply those teachings to our daily lives.
Srila Prabhupada 是一位被赋予力量的 Acharya, 他告诉我们如何把这些教导运用到实际的生活中去，他一直在这样做。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has methodically instructed Sanatana Goswami on the science of devotional service.
那切塔尼亚马哈帕布呢，以非常有体系的这种方式，把奉爱服务的科学讲给了 Sanatan Goswami 听。
By pointing to the ultimate goal.
他一直指向的是一个终极的目标。
And the ultimate goal is not to be happy in Krishna consciousness, but to become a humble servant of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna.
终极的目标并不是在 Krishna 知觉当中享受这个快乐，而是为神圣的伴侣 Radha 和 Krishna 永恒的做奉献服务。
In other words, in devotional service, we don't seek out to be happy by serving Radha and Krishna.Then happiness is derived.
换句话说，就在 Krishna 知觉当中，我们并不是单纯的只是去追求这种享受的感觉、快乐的感觉，而我们要想千方百计的去想到如何去为 Radha 和 Krishna 做奉献服务。
So there is a very important element in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导当中有非常重要的要点。
Because at the end of this chapter, as we have already discussed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to present the beauty of the spiritual world, the qualities of Krishna, the qualities of Srimati Radharani.
那我们知道在这一章的最后呢，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu将描述灵性世界的情景，而且呢，他也会描述 Krishna 美好的品质，以及 Srimati Radharani 的美好的品质。
He explains the transcendental relationship between the pure devotee, with Krishna in the spiritual world.
他也谈到了这些超然的奉献者和灵性世在灵性世界中和 Krishna 之间的关系。
So that we know there is a goal, there is an ultimate destination. It's very, very practical and very tangible.
那这样呢，我们就知道有一个目标，而最终这是有这样的一个目标的，而且这个目标，这个归宿是触手可及的，是非常的实际可以达到的。
This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, is that nothing is vague.
那 Krishna 知觉的美好之处就是在这里了，没有什么是模糊不清的，一切一目了然。
Everything is explained crystal clear.
所有的一切呢，都说得非常的清晰可见。
All the challenges, all the obstacles.
所有的这些可能发生的这些障碍和挑战。
How ultimately the conditioned souls become purified.
还有终极而言，这个受条件限制的灵魂怎么样得到净化？
The different inclinations to serve Krishna in different ways.
以及呢，就是以不同的方式去服务 Krishna 的各种倾向。
Until we get to the spontaneous platform where we derive such ecstasy.And pleasure to serve Krishna unconditionally.
那最终呢，我们就可以培养出一种完全不加任何条件的、自然而然的对 Krishna 的奉献服务，而且在这个奉献服务当中尽享欢乐。
So to reach the ultimate goal, of course, there is a price to pay.
当然了，要达到这样的一个终极的目标，是一定要有所付出的。
Nothing is free.
没有什么是免费的。
But it's not a question of money.
但是呢，这个和金钱无关。
Just like some people, they pay some so-called yoga masters to get a mantra so they can get liberation.
就好像呢，很多人他们花了很多钱给那些所谓的瑜伽大师，得到了一个 mantra， 一个咒语，然后他们以为只要念了这个。Mantra 之后马上就能得到解脱。
There's no money involved in the process of devotional service.
在奉爱服务的程序当中不涉及金钱。
However, we learn to engage everything in Krishna's service.
但是呢，我们呢却慢慢的学习怎么样把一切都用来为 Krishna 做奉献服务。
And this is where the key is given by Lord Chaitanya, which is.Renunciation.
那这就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所给予我们的这把金钥匙，这个就叫做弃绝。
This is the price to pay, is renunciation.
就是这种弃绝，就是我们要付出的代价。
So, spiritualists, they like the idea of making progress, but at the same time, they don't want to give up anything.
那很多灵性主义者呢，他们都有这样的想法，他们既想要获得进步，但是同时呢，又不想有所付出。
But this is the wrong understanding.
但是呢，这是一种非常错误的思想。
The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sanatana Goswami the real meaning of renunciation.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这里就对 Sanatana Goswami 解释了弃绝的真意。
And that renunciation pretty much means that you engage everything in spirit for the pleasure of Krishna.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，对这个弃绝的解释就是说，你要把一切都用来为 Krishna 做奉献服务。
And to be able to do that, one must have a properly structured lifestyle.
那如果你想要做到这一点的话。 那你必须要有一个非常有规律的一种生活模式。
Not to deprive oneself completely or not to go too far in indulging in sense gratification.
就是一方面呢，不要好像是就是好像放弃了一切，然后另外一方面呢，也不要沉溺于感官的享乐。
The example is given that when devotees join Krishna consciousness, they're very enthusiastic about everything.
我们可以举一个例子，将奉献者加入了 Krishna 知觉的时候，一开始是热情高涨。
Maybe not in China, but in the temples in the West, when people join, they're very enthusiastic, so they eat a lot of halwa.
那在中国可能情况不是这样了，但是在西方。因为西方有很多的 Krishna 的庙宇，那很多新人他们来到这个庙宇的时候，一开始就会吃很多很多的 halwa。
Because it's so delicious, they can't help themselves, and it's prasadam anyway.
那这样的一种 halwa， 就是说这个颗粒麦粉做的那种甜麦布丁，那他们就是非常非常的喜欢吃这个东西，非常的甜。
And they eat in general a lot of prasadam because it's very tasty.
因为这 halwa。非常的好吃，而且那个菩萨量都非常的美味，所以他们就会吃很多很多。
So this is okay in the early stages, but you can't make eating a lot of prasadam a lifestyle.
一开始的时候你可以这样多吃一些菩萨量，但是你不能把这种就是吃那么多菩萨量变成了你的一种生活方式。
Prabhupada established this culture.Of eating prasadam to purify the conditioned souls.
释迦牟尼佛建立了这种农药 prasadam 的这种文化，是为了要净化受条件限制的灵魂。
But it's not that we have to eat all the time to make sure that we make spiritual progress.
但是不是说我们得一天到晚不停的吃，以此来保证我们在灵性上面有所进步。
So after some time, the devotee should understand that the eating should be regulated.
那过了一段时间之后，奉献者呢，他们应该要察觉到我不能再吃这么多了，在这个进食方面要有所节制。
Before we joined Krishna consciousness, maybe we were sleeping 10 hours a day.
在加入 Krishna 知觉之前，也许我们每天要睡上十个小时。
Prabhupada said devotees should not sleep more than 6 hours.
但是呢，释迦牟尼佛他说，奉献者的睡眠时间不应该超过六个小时。
But some devotees sleep 7-8 hours.
那有的奉献者睡上七个小时、八个小时。
Or they sleep 6 hours at night and then they sleep another hour during the day.
或者是晚上的时候呢，睡六个小时，然后白天的时候再补一个小时的觉。
So sleeping, eating has to be regulated.
所以说呢，这个。饮食还有睡眠呢，都必须要有所规律。
Work also needs to be regulated.
工作也要有规律。
So it's not like you don't do anything or you work 12 hours. These are two extremes.
所以也不能走极端，要不就是什么工作也不干，要不就是一天工作12个小时。
Sometimes devotees complain, I have too much work, I can't read the books, I can't chant properly.
有的奉献者呢，有的时候会抱怨说自己的这个工作实在是太多了，以至于都没有办法念诵，没有办法看书。
Well, some devotees they don't work, so they read all day.
有的奉献者呢，因为他们不需要去工作，所以一天从早到晚都在读书。
And they accumulate so much knowledge, they don't know what to do with it.
然后呢，他们就累积了很多很多的知识，但是又不知道拿这些知识来干什么。没有实际的运用。
So this has to be regulated.
所以呢，这些方面都需要规范化，要有规律。
And the proper means of renunciation actually is to engage mind, body, senses, everything in Krishna's service.
那这种规范化或者说这种有规律呢，就是说你要懂得怎么样把你的躯体、身体就是身体、心意和感官都用来为。Krishna 做奉献服务。
And Prabhupada often gives the example of Maharaj Ambarish.
那 Prabhupada 经常举一个 Maharaj Ambarish 的例子。
Who was a great king and a great Vaishnava.
他是一位非常伟大的君王，同时也是一位伟大的 Vaishnava 奉献者。
So there is a beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that describes the activities of Maharaj Ambarish.
圣典博迦瓦坛里有一个非常美妙的诗节，就是描述了 Ambarish 大君的，哦不是的，Ambarish Maharaj 的这个活动。
So he used his head to bow down to the deities.
他用头啊向神像顶拜。
He used his hand to clean the floor of the temple.
他用手去擦洗啊庙宇的地板。
He used his eyes to see the transcendental form of the Lord.
他用眼睛去注视 Krishna 的主的这个超然的形体。
He used his leg to walk to the temple.
他用双腿走向神庙。
He used his nose to smell the tulsi leaves offered to Krishna.
他用鼻子去嗅闻供奉给 Krishna 的 tulsi 的清香。
He used his tongue to taste Krishna prasadam and to speak about Krishna.
他用他的舌头去品尝供奉给 Krishna 的 prasadam， 并且去讲述有关 Krishna 的话题。
And he used his mind to always remember Krishna.
然后他用他的心意时时刻刻。
So in other words, you are still in this material world, but your consciousness here is already in the spiritual world.
换句话说，就是说你是身在这个物质世界，但是心在灵性世界。
And this is called Krishna consciousness or Vrindavan consciousness.
这个就是被称为 Krishna 知觉，或者叫 Vrindavan 知觉。
Because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, so if you think of Krishna, you automatically think of Vrindavan.
因为 Krishna 是永远不离开 Vrindavan 的，所以当你去想念这个 Krishna 的时候，你的这个意识就是在 Vrindavan 了。
So this is a gradual process, of course. It's not like from day one we are able to dedicate everything.
那当然了，这个是一个缓慢的一个循序渐进的一个过程，并不是说从第一天开始你就可以如此的投入。
We may have physical limitations.
而且从身体的角度而言，我们可能也有局限。
But we may mostly have mental limitations.
但是可能更多的还是我们在心意上的局限。
And impurities in the heart.
还有就是我们内心中有很多的污染不洁。
So the process of devotional service, beginning with sadhana bhakti, is meant to cleanse the heart, the mind, and the senses.
所以呢，以这个Sadhana 规范修习开始的这样的一种奉爱服务的修习，就是为了要去净化我们的身体、心意和感官。
And the Acharyas explains that what we do when practicing devotional service in the early stage is none different than what the liberated souls do.
那么 Acharya 们解释说呢，其实我们在Krishna 知觉修习的这个起步阶段所做的这些事情和那些解脱了的灵魂所做的事情是一致的，一样的。
The new devotee offers flowers to Krishna is none different than the gopis offering flowers to Krishna.
那一个新奉献者向 Krishna 去进献鲜花，这个是和 gopi 牧牛姑娘们向 Krishna 献鲜花是一个道理。
The difference is the consciousness.
区别就是在于知觉上的差异。
So, for example, in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, Krishna sees no difference between a bird, a cow, a tree, a gopi, or Srimati Radharani.
在这个 Goloka Vrindavan, 在灵性世界，在 Krishna 的眼里，一头牛，一只鸟，然后这个 gopi, 牧牛姑娘们。一棵树，这都没有什么区别。Gopi 们、牧牛姑娘们、Radharani 都没有分别。
Because each of them give 100% of devotion.
因为他们中的每一个都是把他们的奉爱之情100%的付出。
The only difference is the intensity of the devotion.
这个区别只是在于这种奉爱的强烈的程度。
So.Nothing new is going to happen to our activities in Krishna consciousness except the intensity of love.
所以呢，当我们走在 Krishna 知觉的这条道路上的时候，就是自始至终呢，都不会有活动上的这种变化，而是说在你 你做活动的时候，那种强烈的程度和那种深度会发生变化。
And love can be expressed in many different ways in this material body, in this material world.
那当我们身居在这个物质世界，身处于这样的一个躯体中的时候，这个爱可以以各种各样的方式去表达。
One devotee once asked the questions here during Srimad Bhagavatam class in Mayapur.
有一次在 Mayapur 的圣典博迦瓦坛的早课上面，有一个奉献者提出了这样一个问题。
That we hear about symptoms of ecstasy in the revealed scriptures.
他说呢，我们在这个启示经典里面，读到了一些有关狂喜的征兆的描述。
We hear devotees rolling on the ground and crying for Krishna.
我们也听说过奉献者们呢，他们会在圣地的，会在地上打滚，然后会泪流满面。
So how do we know when we have reached this level of pure devotion for Krishna?
那么我们怎么才能知道我们已经达到了对 Krishna 的纯粹的奉爱服务的层面呢？
What are the symptoms?
那么这里有什么征兆吗？
So the devotee who was giving class said, the symptoms are that your devotional service has increased manyfold.
那这个回答问题的这个奉献者，就是讲课的奉献者，他说呢，这个真相呢，就是说你的这个奉爱增加了无数倍。
That you will attract many people to Krishna consciousness.
那因为你的这种奉爱是如此的强烈，所以你可以吸引到很多人，把很多人吸引到 Krishna 知觉里。
That you will distribute so many books.
然后你会拍很多很多书。
That you will open so many temples.
你会这个开设很多的庙宇。
This is how the ecstasy is expressed.
那么这一切呢，都是你的狂喜的表达。
The crying and rolling on the ground will come much, much later.
在这个地上打滚，然后这个泪流满面，所有的这些真相呢，要在前面所说的这些事情之后，要很晚很晚才能够展现出来。
And even then, when we look at the life of the acharyas, we don't have any signs that they were expressing these kind of feelings.
然后我们如果看一下 acharya 们的这个生平，我们也没有看到。他们到底有展现出多少的这些情感
？These were mostly exhibited by Lord Chaitanya.
而这些狂喜的真相，这些真相基本上都是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 展现出来的。
The ecstasy of the acharyas was in their deep sadhana.
那 acharya 们的这种狂喜呢，是展现在他们的这个 sadhana 规范修习之中
，in chanting their japa very very consciously.
他们的这个 japa， 他们的这个念诵呢，他们是非常非常的用心的。
In writing transcendental literatures.
还有呢，他们撰著的这些超然的文献。
So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expected from the.Six Goswamis.
那这个也是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对六 Goswami 们的期望。
To go from the platform of extreme wealth and influence to living under a tree.
就是从这种非常高的地位和影响力，从这个财富一直变成一个。就是每天住在大树下的一个人。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the Goswamis not to live like poor people.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他不希望这六 Goswami 生活的像乞丐。
But to transfer the meaning of wealth.
但是呢，就是他希望他们能够改变对财富的定义。
To transfer from a large sum of money and influence and position to the wealth of renunciation, using things in Krishna's service, and offering shelter to the conditioned souls.
他们原来的财富呢，就是属于大量的这个金钱、地位和影响力。那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 希望他们把这种财富转变成另外一种 也就是说一种完全的一种气绝，不依附任何的这个物质事物，然后把一切都用来为 Krishna 做奉献服务，并且给予受条件限制的灵魂以庇护。
So here is a very important point to try to understand.
这里有一个核心点，我们应当要努力的去理解。
In the conditioned state, we rely on our senses and our mind and our intelligence.
那在这个受条件限制的这种状态之下，我们呢要获得一种理解力，我们就通过自己的身体、心意，还有我们的智性。
The Prabhupada describes them as fallible soldiers.
那释迦牟尼呢，把就是这刚才所说的这几个啊，身体、心意和智性呢，把它是比喻成为会犯错误的就是不可靠的士兵。
In other words, they're supposed to protect you, but actually they always go against you.
就是说本来呢这些士兵他们应该是保护你的，但是呢他们总是让你屡屡受挫。
The mind is not reliable.
因为你的心意没有办法就是被你信任。
The intelligence is weak.
这个智性力也非常的虚弱。
And the senses are weak.
感官呢也非常的脆弱。
So we always surrender to the demands of the mind.
所以呢我们总是不断的臣服于我们心意的发号施令。
And we fully depend on that.
而且我们还完全的依赖于我们的心意。
That's the conditioned state.
这个就是我们备受局限的一种状态。
Krishna consciousness now is teaching us not to depend on that.But to depend on Krishna.
那 Krishna 直觉现在教给我们的是什么呢？让我们不要去依靠于我们的心意了，而是去依赖于 Krishna.
So the spiritual master presents to the disciple the process by which there will be a gradual transfer from dependence on what is unreliable to something which is very reliable.
所以呢我们的灵性导师就是把这样的一个程序交给了我们，让我们有所改变，把我们从那些不可靠的事物上面的这种依赖转变到对真正的就是可依靠的事物的一种依赖。
So, for example, Rupa and Sanatan, who were extremely wealthy and extremely influential, they gave everything up.
那就比如说像 Rupa Goswami 和 Sanatan Goswami， 他们原本是极度的有影响力，而且是非常的有钱。
We had the story much earlier in that chapter where Sanatan Goswami gave everything up, but he kept one soul.
那就是我在这个故事的这个，在这个一章的一开始，我们讲到了 Sanatan Goswami 呢，他见到其他那马哈帕布的时候，他是放弃了所有的一切，唯一留下来的就是一条昂贵的披肩。
And Lord Chaitanya looked at him with this kind of look, like, "What are you doing with that shawl?"
那其他那马哈帕布呢，他就看着 Sanatan Goswami， 眼睛里面呢就表达这么一个意思。你还留着这么一条披肩，那么这么一条毛毯是为要拿它做什么呢？
And Sanatan Goswami understood, and he went to the bank of the river and exchanged his very nice shawl with a rag.
然后呢，这个 Sanatan Goswami 立刻就从 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的眼光里面读懂了他的意思，所以呢，他就来到了恒河岸边，拿他非常这个名贵的这个披肩和一个人换了一块破布。
That renunciation should not be imitated.
那这样的一种气绝不是我们随便来这个模仿的。
Just like Haridas Thakur's renunciation should not be imitated.
就好比是我们也不能随意的去模仿 Haridas Thakur 的气绝。
They had their type of renunciation because they had something.Unique to contribute.
他们有自己的气绝的方法，因为他们有着独特的贡献。
Now, renunciation must be there.
但是呢，这种弃绝之心是必不可少的。
But it's more a consciousness of renunciation than a physical renunciation.
但是更多的呢，是一个人知觉上或者说意识上的一种弃绝，
Where,
而不是说外在可见的这种。
We still have everything that we own, but now we use it in Krishna's service. That is proper renunciation.
就是我们本来所拥有的那些东西，现在还在，我们还是持有它的。但是呢，我们意识上已经不是一种拥有者之居了，而是把所有的这一切都拿来为 Krishna 做奉献服务。这就是恰如其分的弃绝。
And we see this exemplified very nicely, especially in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and specifically Srila Prabhupada, who expertly used everything in Krishna's service.
那这点呢，我们就可以在 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 还有 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 的生活当中看到，尤其是在 Srila Prabhupada 的生平中，他的这一生当中可以看到，就是他们非常善于把生活中的一切都用来为 Krishna 做奉献服务。
And sometimes being strongly criticized by people who did not understand what renunciation means.
以至于呢，有一些并不真正的理解弃绝真意的人，还会指责他们。
So the lesson here from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to learn to depend only on Krishna.
所以 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，在这里给了我们上了一课，就是告诉我们怎么样去依赖于唯一，就是怎么样完全的、唯一的去依赖于 Krishna.
So when we study Prabhupada's books, we have to understand this is not just about accumulating as much knowledge as possible.
所以呢，当我们去学习释迦牟尼佛的书籍的时候，我们要有这样的一种意识，要知道去阅读他的书，不是说是去积累知识。
Reading Prabhupada's books is about understanding Krishna.
阅读释迦牟尼佛的书籍，就是意味着一步一步的去了解 Krishna.
And to derive a taste for serving Krishna.
而且去获得对 Krishna 奉献服务的品味。
So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, there are many devotees which are given as example of renunciation.
在《圣典薄伽瓦坛》当中呢，举到了很多弃绝奉献者的例子。
And how they use that renunciation to express their love for Krishna.
那就也讲到了这些奉献者是怎么运用他们的弃绝来表达对 Krishna 的爱。
Because they understood, number one, Krishna is within the heart of everyone.
因为首先他们知道呢， Krishna 是在所有生物体的心中。
Yesterday, we were having a class here in Mayapur, and the devotee who gave class reminded us that there is not a single momentThat Krishna is not with the living entity.
那昨天呢，在马亚普的一个课堂上面，讲课的这个奉献者呢，他就提醒我们这些在座的聆听者，说我们要深思一下，实际上 Krishna 从来都没有离开过生物体，一刻都没有。
This is something we have to be aware of. Krishna is always within our heart.
就是这点是我们应当觉知到的，就是 Krishna 其实一直在我们的心中。
And normally, this is the duty of the spiritual master to remind this of the disciple. Learn to depend on Krishna. He is within your heart.
那一般来说呢，这个灵性导师就有责任一次又一次的提醒他的门徒，告诉他们，你看，你要学会怎么样去依赖于 Krishna， 因为 Krishna 从来没有离开你，一直在你的心中。
So we are never alone.
所以呢，我们从来都不是。孤独的。
We actually have the best of any association we can ever get.
事实上，我们可以获得的是最好的联谊。
So because we don't have this awareness of Krishna as the super soul, we turn to the spiritual master and we turn to the devotees.
那因为我们觉察不到 Krishna 在我们心中的超灵的这个形象，所以说呢，我们就不得不经常去转向。就是求助于我们的灵性导师或者其他的奉献者。
But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn so many different devotees how they learn gradually to renounce everything by depending on Krishna.
那圣典博迦瓦坛里面我们就看到有这么多的奉献者了，他们就是通过完全的依靠 Krishna 而弃绝了他们的一切拥有。
It's like a child withdraw themselves in the arms of their father because they have complete trust.
就好像一个孩子扑到父亲的怀里，因为他对这个父亲有完全的信任。
Sometimes you see a father standing on the ground, and then the child is up, standing on something higher, and the child's gonna jump because he knows the father will catch me.
就有的时候你看到这个父亲站在那儿，然后边上有这个孩子站在一个很高的这个地方，这个孩子他会毫无顾忌的向他的父亲的怀里这个跳过去扑上去因为这个孩子他不害怕会摔倒，他知道他的父亲一定会接住他。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach Sanatana Goswami that when he goes to Vrindavan, through his sadhana and through his service, he will entirely depend on Krishna.
那就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，在这里就是对 Sanatana Goswami 说，当他去了 Vrindavan 之后呢，他通过他的这种 sadhana， 通过他的奉爱服务，他就可以完全的依靠 Krishna.
And he quotes a beautiful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is recited by Shukadeva Goswami.
然后呢，在这个时候，他就引用了圣典博迦瓦坛里的一段非常美妙的诗文，这个是由 Shukadeva Goswami 说的。
Where he says, "Chirani kim pahi na shanti di shanti biksham, naivangri papara britta sharito pyasuyan."Ruda guna kim ajito vati naposapasam kasman bhajanti kavayo dana duramanandan. Are there no torn clothes lying on the common road? Do the trees which exist for maintaining others no longer give alms in charity? Do the rivers being dried up no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or...Above all, does the unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead not protect the fully surrendered souls? Why then should learned person, like devotees, go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth?
在这段诗文里面呢，就是说，他说呢，这个大陆上难道没有破布了吗？在这些树木。来应付人们的树木难道没有再给予人们布施了吗？河流难道枯竭了吗？再也不能给口渴的人以清泉了吗？这个山上的山洞是否已经封闭了吗？这不可征服的至尊人格守神难道再也不保护全心皈依他的灵魂了灵魂的人了吗？就是至尊人格守神，难道不可征服的至尊人格守神再也不保护全然皈依他的灵魂了吗？那为什么像就是奉献者那样的饱学知识，还要去谄媚那些被财富给陶醉了的人呢？
So this is a beautiful verse which explains dependency on Krishna.
那在这里呢，就是说这段诗节，它就是描述了怎么样去完全的依靠 Krishna.
That one way or another, Krishna will always provide the devotee.
就是说无论如何 ，Krishna 他就是始终他都会给奉献者提供一切。
So this verse was spoken 5,000 years ago.
那这个诗节呢，它是在5000年之前。说的
So Shukadeva Goswami takes, he points out to natural manifestations.
那 Shukadeva Goswami 呢，他就以这个大自然为例，就讲到了一些自然而然的这个供给。
When he says, "Are there any torn? There are no torn clothes lying on the road."
他就是
like you have nothing to wear.
他的询问就是说，难道路上就没有破布了呢吗？那意思就是说呢，这个破布至少你就可以围着身体了，你就可以有东西可以穿了。 所以肯定是可以的。
Maybe in China you don't have that, but in the West there's very famous shops that sell very good condition second-hand clothes that people don't need anymore.
在中国我们可能看不到这样的店铺。但是在西方的话就经常有这样的一些商店，他们专门是卖一些二手的服装的，就是别人已经不穿的衣服。
I think Chinese people would be embarrassed and feeling ashamed that they have to wear someone else's clothes. But in the West, people don't mind.
我想中国人可能有这样的一种心理，如果去穿别人穿过的这种衣服，这种二手衣服的话，会觉得非常的不好意思，会觉得很尴尬，很羞耻的一件事情。但是在西方，人们是不在乎的。
People waste so much clothing. They wear it once, they wear it two times, three times, and then that's it. Not interested. Let's get the next thing.
就是人们太容易厌倦了，有一些衣服只是穿了一次两次就扔掉了，然后就又买新的。
So we should not worry about being dressed properly.
所以说呢，关于这个穿着，我们其实不用那么的担心。
Do the trees which are supposed to give plenty of food, don't they stop giving food?
那这个树木它本来是可以给人们提供很多的这个水果呀这些，但是难道它已经不再结果，不再给予人们了吗？
Well, now we depend on the supermarket.
我们现在依赖于这个超市了。
But let's say you have no money.
就找不到任何的食物了吗？
So much food is being wasted and thrown out in the garbage.
那每一天呢，有这么多的食物都被浪费了，扔到了垃圾箱里。
And you'd be surprised in the Western world, which are supposed to be wealthy countries, people come out of their apartment and go into the trash bin to pick up food that people have thrown away.
你可能我要说的这可能会非常的吃惊，在西方。在人们眼里的非常富有的这些国家里，都还有很多人走出家门到垃圾箱里面去翻找别人吃剩的食物，或者是丢掉的没有吃的食物。
Even in China, there's so much waste of food.
在中国也是啊，大量的浪费这个食品。
Then he says, the rivers, are they dry or do they give water?
他说这个河流难道已经枯竭了吗？还是还能提供给人们水？
Why do we have to depend on bottled water all the time? Why don't we just get water from the river?
因为呢，难道我们就非得要去依赖于那些瓶装水？那难道这个河流已经没有水了？我们不能从水河流中去汲水吗？
The rivers are the gift of nature.
河流是大自然所给予我们的礼物。
But we depend on the whole system instead of.Depending on Krishna.
但是我们实际上现在依赖的都是这个物质世界里创造出来的一种系统，而不是说直接的去依赖Krishna.
And then he gives the example of the caves. Are the caves closed? You have nowhere to sleep.
那他的意思就是说，接下来的一句是说，这个山洞封闭了吗？那意思就是说，你本来可以进到山洞里面呢，把这个山洞作为栖身之地的。你难道你就没有地方待了吗？
Not that we should all go and live in the caves.
但是并不是说我们都要成为山洞人，就都住在那个山洞里面了。
But how many millions of empty apartments are in China?
那我们现在想想，我们在中国。那种公寓楼里面有多少多少没有人住的房子
？So many empty buildings.
有很多很多空空如也的这些建筑楼。
And people are struggling to pay their rents.
但是现在还是有很多人连房租都租不起。
So Krishna does not supply.
连房租都付不起。
Of course, Krishna supplies.
就是说，难道 Krishna 就没有给这个众生提供他们的所需吗？不是这样的 ，Krishna 他一直在提供。
Greedy people make it impossible.
但是呢，是那些贪婪的人，使得连这些基本生活所需似乎都变成不可能的。
So Shukadev Goswami's point here is that why would a devotee go and beg from greedy people when they can have everything from Krishna directly.
那在苏克涅伯格森名单这里提出的问题就是说，就是 Krishna 奉献者，那又何必还要去向那些贪婪的人去乞讨呢？为什么不完全的去依靠于 Krishna？ 因为 Krishna 是可以提供一切的。
So devotees should learn to be self-dependent.
所以呢，奉献者们呢，一定要学会一种自给自足的生活方式。
And it's interesting because Prabhupada says devotees are not beggars.
因为 Srila Prabhupada 他很有意思。Srila Prabhupada 说到呢，奉献者不是乞丐。
It's not that we take to renunciation and then start begging for things.
并不是说我们非得要弃绝一切，成为一个弃绝者，然后是像一个乞丐一样的到处去乞讨。
Begging is not a profession.
乞讨并不是一种职业。
And you can see, especially in China, beggars, they don't get much support.
那尤其是在中国这样的地方，就是那些乞丐一般是得不到人们的支持的。
In the West, beggars get good help.
在西方的话，乞丐是可以得到人们很多的援助。
But in China, I don't see people giving too much to the beggars.
但是在中国，我没有看到人们给乞丐什么。
But then you have the beggars, for example, like the Buddhist monks.
那还有一些这个七世就是说像那些佛教的僧人，他们去化缘。
And people are inclined to give to the Buddhist monks.
那这个人们呢，是心甘情愿给他们布施。
For what purpose?
那为了什么呢？
You think the Buddhist monks have nothing to eat and nowhere to sleep?
你难道觉得这些佛教的僧人僧侣他们是没有什么可吃的，然后他们也无家可归吗？
No, people give to the Buddhist monks because they think that by giving they will get some merit, some credit.
那很多人呢是给予他们这些僧侣一些布施，是因为他们觉得我这样的布施可以给自己带来福报。
So Prabhupada explains that thisKind of renunciation for devotees means that you go out and you give Krishna consciousness to others.
那Prabhupada说呢，对奉献者来说，弃绝就是意味着你到外面去，然后把 Krishna 知觉给予所有的人。
And especially the householders.
特别是对居士而言。
He said the householders should be engaged in very generously.Giving Krishna to others.
那就是说，他们在说呢，这个居士应当要非常慷慨的把 Krishna 带给所有的人。
The whole system is for the householders to maintain temples, to maintain sannyasis, to maintain brahmacharis.
这个我们的这个体系呢，原本就是应该这样的，居士呢，这个首当其冲，应当去维系这个庙宇，去维持这个Sannyasi, 托钵僧，还有 Brahmachari, 真守僧的生活。
And to give in charity to others in the form of giving books, giving prasadam, giving the holy name.
而且呢，还要去做像派书，然后像给予圣名，还有提供prasadam这样的布施活动。
So Sanatan Goswami is explaining this at the end of his teachings to Sanatan Goswami.
那在就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，就是最后他给了 Sanatan Goswami 这个教导。
To make sure he understands the proper mood of renunciation.
那么这个他的教导的最后就是告诉这个 Sanatan Goswami 什么是真正的弃绝。
Then Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Chaitanya gave many, many more teachings which are not described.
那这个 Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami 呢，他就最后就是说到呢，就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 还有很多的教导在这里呢，没有一一的描述。
Especially details about the nature of the spiritual world.
特别是关于这个灵性世界的这个细节，没有。讲到一一的说到
different details that are mostly excuse me different details that are mostly important when one has reached the highest level of Krishna consciousness.
就是当一个人他已经达到了 Krishna 知觉的更高的境界的时候，他所觉悟到的那些细节在这里并没有一一的赘述。
Specific pastimes that describe the intimate relationship between Krishna and his pure devotees.
还有就是 Krishna 和他的亲密的奉献者之间的那些非常亲密的逍遥时光。
So that's why this conversation took 2 months.
那就是说他们两人之间的这个对话持续了2个月的时间。
So during 2 months, there is, you know, they have to chant in the morning, they take their bath, they take prasadam, they take rest, and then they spend a few hours every day.
那么在这两个月当中呢，就是每天如此，他们早起沐浴，他们念诵，然后荣耀prasadam, 然后再坐在一起几个小时的时间来这样的这个对话。
So finally, when the conversation was over, Sanatan Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya and he placed a straw in his mouth. Now remember that he did the same thing at the beginning of the teachings.
那当这个他们对话结束之后呢 ,Sanatan Goswami 就口中衔着一根草。那记得一开始的时候他见到Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的时候他也是这样的口中衔着草。
So,He approached him with great humility.
所以说呢他以这种深深的这种谦卑之情顶拜在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的莲花之下。
And he begged Lord Chaitanya for mercy.
他就祈求 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 能够赐福于他仁慈。
He said, Nicha Jati, Nicha Sevi, Muni, Supamara, Siddhanta, Shikaila, Ye, Brahmarala, Agochara. Sanatan Goswami said, My dear Lord,I am a very low-born person. Indeed, I am a servant to low-born people. Therefore, I'm very, very downtrodden. Nonetheless, you have taught me conclusions unknown even to Lord Brahma, means on the streets, downtrodden.
就是，然后呢，就是在这个 Sanatan Goswami 呢，他就在这里说到了。我亲爱的主啊，我这个出身卑微，事实上我是那些出身低下者的，就是说仆人。然后因此呢，我是非常非常的低下的。然而你却教给了我连主 Brahma 都不了解的结论。
Basically speaking, from such an elevated materialistic position to be given access to such a wealth of transcendental knowledge, Sanatan Goswami doesn't feel that he deserves it, that he's not qualified for it.
那换句话说就是 Sanatan Goswami 呢，他本来就是一个这么富有有影响力的地位那么显赫的一个人，那他呢就是抛弃了所有的这些财富而转而去接受了另外一份财富，这个就是超然的知识。但是即便如此，他依然是觉得自己是就是配不上的，是微不足道。
And he says, "You give me knowledge that even Brahma doesn't know."
然后他说，你给了我连主 Brahma 都就是不了解的知识。
So he says, "The conclusions that you have told me are the ocean of the ambrosia of truth. My mind is unable to approach." Ouch, even a drop of that ocean.
然后呢他就说呢结论就是说你告诉了我一个玉液琼浆组成的海洋这是真理之洋但是我的心却甚至无法接近海洋中的一滴水。
In other words,This transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness is like an ocean, and I have just tasted one drop.
所以呢，他的意思就是这个 Krishna 知觉的超然知识呢，就好像是一个巨大的甘露之洋，但是他现在连里面的一滴这个甘露、一滴水，他都品尝不到。
And now he's going to plead with Lord Chaitanya by saying, "If you want to make a lame man like me." Dance, kindly bestow your transcendental blessing by placing your lotus feet on my head.
然后他说呢，我是一个瘸子。如果你想让 我跳舞的话，让我翩翩起舞的话，请您将您的莲花足置于我的头顶，以此来赋予我超然的祝福。
In other words, I have absolutely no qualification.
那换句话说呢，我是一无是处。
And it's very similar to the poem that Prabhupada wrote when he arrived in America.
那就是在释迦牟尼到达这个美国的时候，他也写了一首诗，在这个诗里面呢，也讲到了与此非常类似的语句。
Where he said, "My dear Lord, I have no idea why you brought me here."
那在那个诗歌里面呢，释迦牟尼就说到了，我亲爱的主啊，我不知道你为什么要把我带到这里来。
But if you want me to dance, make me dance, make me dance.
那如果你想要我跳舞的话，那就让我舞蹈吧，让我翩翩起舞吧。
In other words, I am an instrument in your hands. Do whatever you like.
换句话说呢，我就是被你所操纵的，是在你的手里。你想让我做什么？
So here he is begging Lord Chaitanya, please place your lotus feet on my head.
所以呢，在这里呢，萨那塔勾斯瓦米呢，就向切塔尼亚马哈帕布发出请求，请您将您的莲花足置于我的头顶。
萨那塔勾斯瓦米 wants to have a firm confirmation from Lord Chaitanya that now he is being empowered. I will go to Vrindavan. I will do whatever you say. Please give me your mercy.
所以呢，其实萨那塔勾斯瓦米他就在这里的祈求切塔尼亚马哈帕布的给他的一个确认，就是说是的，切塔尼亚马哈帕布，你想让我到哪里去就到哪里去，你让我到伦达文我一定会去的，请您赐予我仁慈吧。
And he's saying Lord Chaitanya what Lord Chaitanya should say.
而且他等于就是说让切塔尼亚马哈帕布应当对他说什么。
He says, please tell me.Let whatever I have instructed all be fully manifested unto you. That's what he says. Please tell me this. Put your feet on my head and tell me this.
就是萨那塔勾斯瓦米，其实呢，他就是在对切塔尼亚马哈帕布说，请您将您的莲花足置于我的头顶，然后就这样说吧，就是告诉切塔尼亚马哈帕布对萨那塔。Goswami 接下来应该说什么，意思就是说愿我所教导你的一切都向你完全的展示。
This is such a great sign of humility. Sanatana Goswami feels completely unqualified.
所以你可以看到呢，这个 Sanatana Goswami 呢，但是他具有这么崇高的这个品格，就是说他的一种全然的一种谦卑。
He just spent 2 months every day with Lord Chaitanya hearing this transcendental knowledge. And at the end of 2 months, I'm not qualified. Please tell me that you're giving me the power. Please.
所以就是说他已经跟 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在一起一起相处了两个月的时间，每一天都从他那里得到了这么多的训示。但是当这两个月结束的时候呢，他还说他自己是没有任何的资格，一无是处，请您赋予我力量吧。所以你可见他的这种挣扎到极致的这个谦卑。
This is the perfect position and attitude of a disciple.
这是一个门徒的一个非常完美的地位。
A disciple should pray to their Guru Maharaj, I have no qualification, please bless me so I can do some service.
所以呢，门徒就应当在灵性导师的莲花足下顶拜，告诉灵性导师我是一无是处，我没有任何的资格，没有任何的品格，请您祝福我，赐予我一些奉献服务吧。
Every day when we open Prabhupada's book, we should beg Prabhupada to give us the intelligence to understand what's in the books.
所以呢，每天当我们去打开Srila Prabhupada的书的时候，我们都应当向Srila Prabhupada祷告，祈求他能够赐予我们一点智慧，好让我们去理解他书中的意义。
Every day before we chant our japa, we should beg the Panchatattva, please give me the purity for the chanting.
每天当我们念诵之前，我们应当向 Panchatattva 五圣体去顶拜，去祈求，希望他能够帮助我们，让我们能够专注于圣门。
Every day we should pray to Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master, please give me the intelligence and the courage to go out and meet people so I can give them Krishna consciousness.
每一天呢，我们也应当向我们的灵性导师和其他的 Acharya 发出这个祈求，请赐予我们勇气和力量，让我们能够踏出家门，到外面去把 Krishna 知觉给予所有的人。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his hands on Sanatan Goswami's head and blessed him by saying, "Let all these instructions be manifested to you."
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，接着就把他的手放在 Sananta Goswami 的头上，并祝福他道，愿所有的训示向你展示。
Imagine feeling the hands of Lord Chaitanya on your head. Just imagine that.
大家可以想象一下。想象一下这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 把他的手放在了 Sanatan Goswami 的头上，放到头上，那是一种什么样的感受？
Sometimes Prabhupada would do this with his disciples, just put his hand on their heads.
那有的时候呢，知道 Prabhupada 呢，他也会这样，就是他把他的手放在他的门徒的头上。
So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami now is concluding this chapter.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 呢，现在呢，就将本章结束。
He said, I have briefly described a discussion of the ultimate goal of life, love of Godhead, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot be described expansively.
他说呢，我只是简单的描述了生命的终极目标。描述了他们的这个讨论。I haven't finished. 这生命的终极目标就是对神手的爱 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的仁慈永远道不尽。
Whoever hears these instructions given to Sanatan Goswami by Lord Chaitanya comes very soon to realize love of God Krishna.
任何听到了主给萨南塔格苏阿米训义的人都能很快的觉悟到对主神对 Krishna 的爱。
So you've been hearing these pastimes. How long we've been working on this chapter? At least 4 months, if not more.
This chapter lasts for 4 months.
Yes.
我们可能
at least
我们讲这一章可能讲了得有四个月的时间了。
This chapter only has 127 verses. We've been discussing this chapter for a long, long time.
这个是
oh yes.
这一章里面呢，就是其实只有126个时节，但是，我们的印象中就是这一章已经讲了好长好长时间了。
So if you have been listening carefully to this chapter, you will soon taste pure love for Krishna.
所以呢，在这一章呢，如果说你就是每一个部分都非常仔细的。聆听的话，你很快就会品尝到对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱的滋味。
Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pare Yarehas Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das, praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Shri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps.
我 Krishna Das在Shri Rupa和Shri Raghunath的莲花足下祈祷，我永远的祈求着他们的仁慈，追随他们的步伐，讲述Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita，主Chaitanya的甘露之阳，就是主Chaitanya的教导。
So this is the end of chapter 23.
这个就是在这个第《玛达丽拉》中篇小第23章的。
And next week we're going to shift to chapter 24, which is very philosophical.
接下来的那一章就是中篇小的第24章呢，这个哲学性就非常非常强了。
And we have two more chapters, and we finish《玛达丽拉》。
然后，就是剩下来还有两章。
24,
就是第中篇的24章和25章完了之后，这两章结束之后，玛达丽拉中篇小导就结束了。OK， 我们看一下问题。You want to answer like a last night's question? She always asks something personal.
What?
Not really.
Onion and garlic?
I don't know. 喜宝问景拜咕噜和老师们感恩咕噜精彩的讲课和通过素食带给我们的神的爱。我在婚庆工作中有时候会遇到一些学佛和修习 Krishna 知觉的学生，常常会和父母为婚宴的荤素搞得不愉快。儿女认为如果婚宴有肉食，那就是罪大恶极。父母认为儿女简直秀的人情味都没有了，如果强迫没有信仰的人接受素食就是自私自利，甚至对他们的信仰产生怀疑和抵触。请问咕噜您有何两全其美皆大欢喜的建议呢？ Thank you very much for your wonderful class and also the love for God that you brought through vegetarianism. I worked for the weddings. Sometimes I would come across some Buddhist practitioners and also some students who practice Krishna consciousness who will always have some conflict with their parents in regards to how they are going to give the wedding feast. The children thinks that if there's any meat at the wedding feast, then that's extremely sinful. And the parents think that the children, they practice spiritual life to the extent that they have lost their common sense and the emotions, feelings of common people. If you force someone who doesn't have any faith to accept vegetarianism, then they think that it's quite selfish, and the parents even become very doubtful of their faith and also be opposed to that. And so, dear Guru, do you have any nice advice about how to balance both and make both happy?
You'll never make anyone happy.
你没有办法让他们快乐开心。
Yeah, it's not going to work.
总之是没办法，没有办法让他们双方都非常的高兴。
The point is, and I'll be very straightforward with you, you should not have the wedding until you have a proper understanding.
You mean the both reach to agreement?
Yes. Like,
就是我的意思就是说，实际上我可以直截了当的说，除非说双方都达成协议，然后双方理解，否则的话就不要轻易的去办这个婚宴。
Don't budge. That's all.
不要，就是不要妥协。
Take your time.
就是说，作为儿女，如果是这个素食的儿女的话，就是宁愿是慢慢的等，耐心一点，让父母理解了再去办这个婚宴，否则的话，对方一定是不高兴的。
That's all I have to say.
就是我能说的也就是这样。Sumukhi Radha 说，转发新奉献者的提问，顶拜咕噜和奉献者们。我们很想遵守，很想弃绝，当时信心满，可是过了几天又堕落下去了，想尽办法都没有用。Krishna 是控制者，我现在只能努力做奉爱服务，祈祷 Krishna 为我做出最好的安排。这样想对吗？这些情况到底是怎么回事呢？恳请 Guru 开始。Questions from new devotees. Please accept our humble obeisances. I really want to be a renunciate, to renounce everything and like a brahmachari. And at the beginning, I was full of confidence, full of faith, but after a few days, I would fall down again. And I tried many ways, but none of them works. Krishna is the supreme controller. Now, all that I can do is make effort and try to do some devotional service, praying that Krishna will give me the best arrangement. Is this proper thoughts? Why do I become the way I am? Can you please give me some enlightenment in this?
Sumukhi Radha wants to become a brahmachari?
No. This is a question from a new devotee.
Oh, a new devotee. Okay. Well, everything takes time.
所有的事情呢，都是需要时间的。
And the example is given of cutting one's nails.
我们可以举一个例子，就好像剪指甲。
Sometimes the nails grow, and then you want to you take the nail clipper and then you cut nails.
那有的时候呢，你的指甲长长了，你拿一个指甲刀去把它指甲剪掉。
So you may have clean fingers, but if you cut your nails too short, then it's very painful.
那你剪指甲了，你的确是把指甲剪了，这个现在这个手干净了。但是如果你这个剪得太狠，剪得太短的话呢，你肯定会痛。
So we have to be very careful not to renounce too much too soon.
所以说呢，我们一定要小心，这个气绝啊，不能太快。
Especially,
太多太彻底。
Aspiring to be a brahmachari, it means that you have to be surrounded by other brahmacharis, which you are not.
啊，特别是你这里说到真守哈，我想你的意思是说真守生这样。那如果是一个真守生的话，他通常周边他要跟很多真守生生活在一起，才能够有一个非常好的这样的一种真守的生活。
You become fire by being with fire.
就是当你和火在一起的时候，你自然也就变成了火。
That's actually the meaning of the color of the cloth of sannyasis and brahmacharis. They wear saffron cloth, which is actually the color of the flames burning all material attachments.
所以你看一下真守生还有这个托钵僧他们的这个袍子是就是那种橘红色的，实际上它代表着一种火焰的颜色，那意思就是说呢，要焚烧到一切的物质欲望。
So it's better to be realistic, to have a balanced life and a balanced mind.
所以你最好还是讲究现实，就是说让你现在的这个生活更加的平衡一些，那你的心理呢也会更加的平衡。
In the early stage of Krishna consciousness, we should just concentrate on chanting good japa every day.
那在 Krishna 知觉的这个起步的这个阶段，我们应当把我们的精力的这个重点放在好好的念诵上。
Being conscious of offering our food to Krishna.
然后呢，始终要记住要向 Krishna 去这个供奉食物，要有这样的一种意识。
Trying to understand what Prabhupada says in his books.
要努力的去了解是了 Prabhupada 在书中所说到的以知识。
Associating and serving the devotees.
和奉献者联谊，去服务奉献者。
And taking full shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master.
然后呢，就是全然的归依于一位灵性导师的莲花足。
Because when we do all these things over a period of time.Then we become very conscious of where our strengths are and where our weaknesses are.
因为我刚才所说的所有的这些方面，如果你能够坚持做上相当长的一段时间的话，你就会慢慢的就会明白你自己的这个优点就是强项在哪里，你的弱点这个在哪里，你就会一目了然，很清楚的了解到自己。
With proper guidance, we can eliminate weaknesses and concentrate on the strength.
如果你有一个非常正确的指导，你脱避于这种指导的话，你就可以把就是自己的那些就是弱点呢，慢慢的就都清除掉了，然后呢，你的这个力量就会增强。
So the priority in the beginning stage is to be steady.
所以说呢，我觉得这个稳定是作为一个。新奉献者，一个起步的奉献者的一个最重要的东西。
It doesn't matter if the mind goes crazy. We have to keep being steady by performing prescribed duties.
那就是这个心意可能会给你找很多的麻烦，就像疯了一样，很疯狂。但是你依然要去履行你的这些附定的这些责任。这些规范的这种休息，你依然坚持不懈，非常有规律的去做。
So try that for some time, see how it works.
所以你可以就是在一段时间里面去尝试一下，然后再看看对你有什么样的影响和帮助。Okay, now so far.There are two questions from last night. Can you answer those questions?
What's this?
This is that right now for today, there are no more questions at this moment. So can you answer the questions from yesterday? Yesterday, the question is from Rasi in Bai Guru. 等一下啊，我先看看这下面这个问题是不是跟今天有关，我先回答那个。
Is this from the class?
OK, 来自于 Panchatattva 的问题，就是顶拜喀布玛塔吉和奉献者，奉献者休息多年，还是处在七情属性和愚昧属性中，很少在善良形态，和奉献者关系也不好，如何解决这样的问题？Devotee who has been practicing for many years is not, usually they are still in the mood of passion and ignorance, rarely in goodness, and they are not having a very good relationship with devotees. How to solve these problems?
How is it possible that after so many years you're still affected by passion and ignorance? Where is this coming from?
Many are like that. 奉献者为什么会这样呢？你看修习了这么多年了，依然还是轻易的受到激情属性和愚昧属性的影响。
It means you haven't started your spiritual life.
这就意味着其实你的灵修生活还真的没开始。
This is a little bit connected to the previous question.
这个问题和咱们前面的那个问题是有一些关联的。
You see, we may have, before we come to Krishna consciousness, we are completely affected by passion and ignorance.
其实呢，就是说在我们走进 Krishna 知觉之前，我们是完完全全的被激情属性和愚昧属性所影响的。
Now, when we come to Krishna consciousness, the passion and ignorance may still be in the mind, but Prabhupada gave us a program to get us out of passion and ignorance.
就是当我们进入 Krishna 知觉之中，你的头脑、心意当中，其实那些激情和愚昧形态还在，但是呢，是来 Prabhupada 他为我们设计了一种灵修的一个规范的这种生活。然后呢，你就不会过多的去受到这些激情和愚昧的形态的这个影响了，你可以从里面出来。
But if you don't follow that program, you will remain in passion and ignorance, which means you haven't started your spiritual life.
那是啦，帕巴他给我们设计的这些活动，如果你没有去按照这个去依循，就是去跟着那个去做的话，那么你肯定还是会受到你的心意本来就存在的这些潜伏的激情和愚昧的这种影响，那就意味着你根本就没有真正的很好的开始灵修。
If you follow the program Prabhupada gave us, you will be out of passion and ignorance from day one.
事实上，如果说你能够很好的去遵循释迦帕巴所给我们的这种方法的话，那么从第一天开始，你就已经可以不受激情和愚昧形态的影响了。
I'll ask you this question.
我来问你一个问题。
How many devotees in the Chinese Yatra every single morning get out of bed early and go into the shower and take a full shower and wear clean clothes before they start their chanting? How many?
那我现在要问的一个问题是，在中国这么多的奉献者当中，究竟有多少每天是早起，非常早的就起床了，然后去沐浴？立刻沐浴，穿上干净的衣服，然后开始念诵。有多少人能做到这一点？
Every morning, get out of bed, go into the shower, take a full shower, get dressed with clean clothes. You may not have tilak, but you can put water tilak on, and then you begin your japa. Just by doing this, you're already out of ignorance.
这是有多少人能够每天就早起，然后去沐浴？然后穿上干净的衣服，然后再开始这个japa。那在那之前的话，你可能没有 tilak， 就是实际的涂到身上的 tilak， 但是你可以用水来涂这个身体的各个部位的这个 tilak。其实你只要做到这一点，就这么早上早起的这段时间的这些，如果能够做到的话，你已经突破了激情和愚昧了。
And you finish your rounds, you read properas books, you cook prasadam and you start your day. By that time, you're already on the spiritual platform. Even if your mind is still giving you trouble.
你就是念诵完了之后，再阅读一点释迦帕巴的书，然后去做早餐给 Krishna 供奉。如果说这些能够做到的话，那你肯定就是在一个灵性的层面上了。哪怕你的心意还时不时的来骚扰你，给你麻烦。
This is the secret. Prabhupada gave us this purposely.
其实呢，这个就是秘诀所在呢。Srila Prabhupada 他给予我们这些是有意为之的，他是特意给我们设计的这个方法。
And he instructed us to do the same thing in the evening.
而且呢，他也给了我们啊、教导，让我们在晚上也是这样去做。
How many devotees who have full-time jobs who comes home after work, who step into the shower, put clean clothes on, and do some reading or some chanting or cooking prasadam?
有多少奉献者能够做到这一点？就是一天在外面工作回来之后，然后就沐浴，换上在家里的干净的这个衣服。然后到厨房里面啊、做饭，然后供奉。Some they don't take dinner.
Yeah, some don't take dinner.
有一些人他们是不晚餐的啊，但是呢，就是说这是一个道理，晚上和早上是一样的，还是做这个灵性的活动。
We have to understand that Prabhupada gave us a system that brings us directly onto the platform of goodness, so we can access pure goodness.
所以实际上呢，释迦帕巴他就是给了我们这样的一个体系啊，你跟随着这个系统走，一步一步的去做，照做，那么你就可以达到这个善良属性、善良形态的状态，然后再进一步就迈向纯粹善良形态了。
I mean, if I told you the stories how we lived our life when we joined Krishna consciousness, it was 3:30 in the morning with a hose sticking out of the wall and icy cold water. That's how we started the day.
就是我给你们讲一下我们最早期的时候成为奉献者这一天是怎么开始的。早上3:30就起来，然后这个天气非常的寒冷，然后呢我们还得到这个水龙头，那墙上面伸出一个水龙头，然后开了那个水以后，全部都是冰冷刺骨的这个水，我们要这个用凉水沐浴，然后再开始一天。
I remember Ashu at 3:30 in the morning in the bathroom, he would say to me, stand against the wall, and then he would take the hose with ice and cold water. I said, stop, he said, no, this is good for you.
我还记得那个情景，就是早上3:30起来之后，阿叔举着那个水龙头，那个水管子，然后跟我说：“你靠墙站着。”然后他就拿那个凉水往我身上冲啊，他就说：“这个对你有好处，这个对你有好处。”哇，那个水是冰冷刺骨。
I mean, this is a bit extreme, but when you're young, you don't care about this.
当然，我说的这个听上去有一些极端了。不过那个时候还非常年轻，都是年轻的小伙子，所以你也不在乎。
I mean, I remember in China there were no showers before.
我记得在中国以前都没有这个热水器，什么沐浴啊，这个连蓬头也没有。
Devotees used to take these towels, right, and then just clean their faces with a wet towel.
那个时候很早的时候，没有说家家户户都有这个洗澡的设备的，所以那个时候奉献者就拿一块那个毛巾沾湿了之后，在水下弄湿了之后来擦擦脸。
Now they are showers with hot water. Come on.
现在是已经有热水器可以早上洗热水澡了。
Get out of bed.
好好想想吧。
And stand in the shower.
所以我们最好早上一想就早起，然后就叫。沐浴一下，冲一下凉哈。
And then start your day. You will be instantly uplifted to goodness.
就是然后我们再开始，当一切都洁净之后，然后我们就开始正式的开始一天的这个生活。其实当你这样去做的时候，你已经立刻就在这个善良形态中了。
You gotta be careful. As soon as you wake up in the morning, don't listen to your mind. Follow the instructions.
你一定要有这个意识和觉察，就是你早上一早起来了，你就不要再去聆听你的心意给你说的各种各样的话了。
That's my advice.
你马上就去沐浴，然后你。开始你的灵修生活，这个就是我的一个建议。
Start with the ABC, then we'll talk about DEF.
我们要从这个 ABC 这个一二三最基础的开始，然后我们才能讲到四五六这个 DEF， 才能往后讲。就是说我们要关注自己最基础的这个每天日常生活的这个灵修。
关注到这。
That's the question that I asked.
So what are your answers?
Before, from yesterday, last night, 就是 Darcy， 这是来自于昨天的那个故事会访谈的问题哈。顶拜咕噜，您对目前 Krishna 拒绝在中国过去和现在的分析非常的深刻、独特而实际。既 的圣恩 Prabhupada 非常强调奉献者向社会有利有影响力的人士传教的重要性。在中国对外传教时，尤其是向社会的成功精英人士传教时，我们目前可能很缺乏成功成熟的奉献者的公众形象和专业度，也缺少当初圣恩施拉帕布法的门徒在英国向披头士传教的勇气和策略。请问您觉得在这方面奉献者应该如何突破并收获到相对理想的传教成果呢？Please accept my humble obeisances. What you just analyzed about Krishna consciousness in the past and the present is very deep, unique, and practical. I remember Srila Prabhupada always emphasized that devotees should preach to the influential people in the society. In China, while we do this outreaching preachings, especially to those successful elites, we may feel that at present we are very much lack of devotees who have a very successful and mature public image and professionalism or proficiency. And we are also lack of the courage and the strategies the early disciples of Srila Prabhupada presented when they preached to the Beatles in UK. So would you like us to give us some suggestions and advice just to let us know how we can have the breakthrough and to reap some more ideal preaching fruits?
Thank you for your question.
非常感谢你的问题。
There is only one answer to this dilemma.
就是你在描述的这个看似是一个困境，其实要回答这个困境呢，其实只有一个。
And we talked about it at the end of this chapter today.
我们在今天的这一章的这个结尾部分已经讲到了。
Sanatan Goswami took the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya in his hands and begged him to be empowered.
Sanatan Goswami 呢，双手握紧了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的莲花足，然后谦卑地祈求他，请他赐福于自己。
Because he felt unqualified.
因为他觉得他自己呢没有任何的资格。
There is a verse, I'm not sure from which scripture, that says, "Mukam karoti vachalam, pangum langalate girim, yat kripata mahambande shri gurum dinatarinam." By the mercy of the spiritual master.
就是极乐灵性导师的仁慈。
A blind man can see stars in the sky.
一个瞎子可以看到满天的繁星。
A dumb man can recite poetry.
一个哑巴可以诵出优美的诗篇。
And a layman can cross mountains.
一个瘸子可以翻山越岭。
What the devotees did by, as you mentioned here, contacting the Beatles was because they were empowered by Srila Prabhupada.
就是你在这里讲到了 Srila Prabhupada 早期的门徒在英国，他们联系到了这个披头士，向他们去传播 Krishna 知觉。那是因为这些门徒他们被 Srila Prabhupada 完全的赋予了力量。
Prabhupada empowered the devotees to do things that they could never imagine they could do.
就是 Srila Prabhupada 呢，他把他的这种力量赋予他的这些门徒，让他们去做一些他们自己永远无法想象的事情。
Devotees knew nothing about book publication.
其实当时的奉献者们，他们对于印书出版书这些是一无所知的。
Devotees knew nothing about opening temples.
那奉献者们对于这个开设这个庙宇也一无所知。
Prabhupada guided them step by step. He told them, "You do this, you do this, you do this. You have my blessing. You have my mercy."
那Srila Prabhupada 是带领着他们一步一步往前走的，就不断的向他们承诺，你有我的祝福，你有我的仁慈，等等。
And devotees depended upon Srila Prabhupada for every move they made.
那奉献者们呢，他往每往前走一步都是完全的依靠着 Srila Prabhupada。
So what does that mean?
那么这个意味着什么呢？
It means that we have to beg from the spiritual master to be empowered.
那换句话说就是说我们要祈求我们的灵性导师，希望我们的灵性导师能够赋予我们力量。
This is not about cultivating high class people.
这个跟是不是去培养那些高阶层人士、精英人士，这个是没有关系的。
This is about cultivating the desire.
这个是关键是你要培养这样的一种愿望。
I am not going to share stories of the early days of the Chinese Yatra because this is a public forum.
因为我们今天呢，这就是一个公开课，所以呢，我就不讲那个我们中国的 Yatra 的这个早期的一些故事，就不便在这里说了。
But you have no idea what some of the early Chinese devotees were able to do just because they had this fever of following the guru's instruction.
那就是说呢，早期的这些奉献者，他们就是因为他们就是严格的去遵循他们灵性导师的这个训谕，然后他们是如此的热诚投入到这样的一种追随之中，使得他们做了很多不可思议的事情，是我们现在的人无法想象。
Just like Prabhupada gave instruction to Tamal Krishna Goswami, you go to China.
就好像当初Srila Prabhupada gave Tamal Krishna Goswami 一个训示，你去中国。
And with that instruction came the intelligence and the power to perform that service.
那就是伴随着这样的一个训示呢，Srila Prabhupada也赋予了他这种智慧和力量，让他能够顺利的去做这个奉献服务。
Because it requires surrender.
因为在这里有一个关键点，就是说要去门徒要皈依灵性导师。
Now, when you look at all these young people, and I watch them, you look at all these young Chinese people and middle-aged people in China when they go to work in the morning, believe me, they are motivated.
我在中国的话，我是观察中国人的状态的。比如说，我们看中国人的这些中年和青年人，每天早上在地铁上面或者上班的路上，你看到他们，你会发现，他们是很有动力的。
I watch people in the subway on line 1 and line 10 in the morning or line 2. People, you can see, they are motivated. They walk fast.
在早上这个一线还有环线上面，二线或者十线这个地铁上面，你会看到他们。他们其实是充满着动力的。你看到他们走路的样子，你就会知道他们走路非常的快。
Like you have officers that have startups company.
然后还有一些在这个办公大楼写字楼那里，通常你会看到有一些星巴克的。
All young graduate students.
那在里面 ，you mean the work？ 就是在里面工作的都是非常年轻的这个大学生或者大学毕业生。
And they are so motivated and so competitive.
而且他们就是说有一种竞争意识，非常的积极肯干耐劳。
There are people in China, as soon as they get up in the morning, they grab their phone, and then they check if they got someone else who wants to buy something from them.
还有一些中国人，他们早上眼睛睁开的第一件事情就是拿手机拿过来，然后看一下是不是有人又向他们下单了。
So something is driving these people to go for results.
所以呢，这些人呢，他们好像是被什么东西驱动了一样，就是对于这个结果是非常的渴望，而且他的这个动力非常的强。
So what is it that's going to drive us to do the same thing in devotional service?
就是究竟是什么能够驱动着我们去从事这个奉爱服务呢？
It's like every single page in Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada is giving us these instructions to spread Krishna consciousness. Every page.
对，师拉帕帕的书里几乎是每一页上，师拉帕帕都一再的强调，让我们去传播 Krishna 知觉。
But we may feel, oh, I don't have the confidence. I don't know what to do.
但是我们可能自己呢，还非常的胆怯。哎呀，我这个信心不足，我不知道我该怎么样做。
Where do we start?
那我们都究竟从哪里入手呢？
We start with the guru.
我们从 guru 开始吧。
You go to the guru and you beg, Guru Maharaj, please give me instruction how I can spread Krishna consciousness.
你来到 guru 面前，向 guru 祈求 ，guru， 我祈求你，请您告诉我，我应当怎么样去做，怎么去传播 Krishna 知觉。
Ask the guru to give you instructions.
你要主动的去询问你的 guru， 请他给予你这个训示。
And if you need practical solutions, then you approach those who have experience.
那如果说在这个实际的这个过程当中需要一些实际的这种指导，还有解决的一些方案的话，那你就去找那些更有经验的奉献者。
You would be surprised what you can achieve.
你可能会对你自己可以获得的这个成果感到吃惊的。OK。I didn't ask this question. 那刚才那个问题的后面还跟着一个中国奉献者，好像在对传教士缺乏足够的自信心和冒险，这与中国人更喜欢模仿追随而不愿为天下先的心态有关吗？中国人常会说香草出头鸟，然后 Harry Van Stein 说呢，是的，集体意识很强，相信随着国门越来越开放，一切都会更好。So it followed with a comment that for the Chinese devotees, it seems that their lack of enough faith and adventurous spirit to take risk when they do the preaching outside. Maybe this is related to the Chinese mode, who is more for imitating or following, but doesn't want to be the pioneer or the first one to do something. Because in China, we always say that the gun will always shoot at the bird which stick out his head first. And Harry Vansa said that, yes, we have a strong collective consciousness or ideologies. I believe when the China opens its gates more and more, then things will become better. 就是刚才我读了你们自己的一些解析哈，那个 Radha Charan Prabhu 不太同意。
I don't agree with that at all.
是啊，他不是那个 Radha Charan Prabhu 说他完全不同意你们的这个评自己的分析。
I don't think you're actually aware how your own country functions.
我想你们可能对你们自己的这个国家到底是怎么运行的还不太了解。
What do you think the educational system in China works?
你想想在中国的这个教育体系它是怎么样这个做到的。
Do you think the children who sit in the classrooms in Chinese schools are just learning mathematics and geography and history?
那你以为其实中国的这些孩子坐在学校里面只是学一些代数集和然后学学历史就完事了吗？
They teach children to be competitive.
他们这个在这个教育体系里面就是在教孩子这么一种竞争意识。
That's why kids after school, they've got so much homework. And then the parents give them extra curriculum, learn this, learn this, learn this.
在孩子这个一天上完学之后呢，他有很多很多的作业要去做，然后父母还推动了他们，让他们参加很多这个课外班。学各种各样的科目。
Chinese people are not shy at all. It's not who's going to shoot first. Chinese don't wait for anyone to shoot first. That's why China is becoming the first world economy because they don't wait.
所以我就是通过这些的现状，我们可以分析到中国人他们其实是很有竞争意识的，所以他们才能够成为世界的这个领先的这个经济体那就是他们根本就不等什么别人开枪还是不开枪，他们一定会争先恐后。
Chinese love taking risk.
就是中国人其实是很喜欢冒险的。
How do you think that they dare to build a house on illegal land? How would you dare to do this?
This is not recommended.
No, it's not recommended, but my point is the mentality is Chinese are daring.
有一些现象当然是这个不可取的，像我们中国人有的时候有这种违章建筑、违建就是并没有得到 政府批示的这个土地上面去造很高的这个房子再去卖楼什么，当然这个是不好的，但是就是说你可以看到他们还是有这样的一种意识，他们是有冒险精神，中国人是有冒险精神的。
How many Chinese open restaurants and 6 months later they close them? Doesn't that take courage and dareness?
那你想很多中国人他们开了餐厅六个月之后就不得不关张了，那他们当初去开这个餐厅的时候难道他们不勇敢吗？难道他们没有足够的勇气吗？
Shops open close all the time.
那么多的商场，那些店铺啊，就是开开那个关关，开开关关，这么多人都是非常有冒险精神的。
And what are we talking about? Distributing books? How risky is that?
我们现在在说的只是一个派书，这个比起他们来，这个派书到底里面有多少冒险成分呢？
I keep telling the devotees, if you have a stall outside a subway station.Selling hot prasadam. Of course, you can apply for a license. You apply for a license.
就像我们中国在有一段时间的话，很多人都在那个地铁外面去卖一些食品啊，一些东西。你可以去，你也可以尝试这么去做呀，去卖这个prasadam，或者有一个小小店铺，一个小小的空间去卖这个 prasadam。
Selling hot prasadam every morning, you're going to make tons of money and you're going to make people happy.
那
I can.
早上的话，你可以做一些热气腾腾的 prasadam 早餐给大家，然后甚至你还可以挣到很多的钱。我可以亲自来教你该怎么样去做那些 prasadam。
Devotees are daring enough to go to the park in the summer and have kirtan.
夏天的时候，奉献者们也挺勇敢的，到公园里面去。这个 kirtan.
Now this thing of you shoot first, this is gone in China. Remember, Deng Xiaoping, grope at everything, grope.
那这就是你知道吗？就是这个枪打出头鸟的那个时态已经过去了。还记得邓小平所说的吗？摸着石头过河，摸着石子过河。就是说中国已经不一样了。
There are unlimited opportunities in China. Unlimited.
这个在中国的这个机会是无穷无尽的。Yes. Smile. 最后一个问题，顶拜咕噜，我经常早起之后念诵时会比较困，想再睡一会儿回笼觉。有时一睡就睡很长时间，我不能坚持每天都早起念诵，请问你有什么好的建议吗？ My experience is every morning when I get up, if I get up very early and chant, I would.Still be very sleepy, and I want to go back to sleep. But as soon as I fall asleep, it will take a long time before I wake up. Therefore, I can't stick to the early rising and chanting the rounds. Do you have any good advice?
Yes, I have a very good advice.
是的，我有一个很好的建议。
Listen to that class again.
你把这个课再重新听一遍。
And you will see at some point I mentioned stepping into the shower in the morning.
就是我讲到了早上的时候，起来马上就去沐浴。你沐浴完了就是很那个清醒了。
Get out of bed and walk with your eyes still closed.
你起来的时候，你这个可以闭着眼睛走路。
And get into the shower.
然后你就是到这个水龙头下面来冲一下。
Make sure the water is not too hot. Make it just cool so you can wake up.
然后这个水也不能太热啊，要稍微凉一点，这样子的话你就能够清醒了。
Then wear clean clothes, sit down and begin to chant. You fall asleep, walk.
然后你穿上这个干净的这个衣服，坐下来就开始念诵。如果困了，你就开始走动。And also relates to the when she goes to sleep or what she does before going to sleep.
Yes. What time do you go to bed and what do you do before you go to bed?
还有这个有一个重要的因素，就是你头一天晚上你到底是几点钟睡觉的？还有一个，你睡觉之前的那段时间在做些什么？这个会很大程度上影响你的睡眠质量。
9 o'clock. 9:30. Maximum.
Ten.
Ten.
就是九点半就应当是上床准备睡觉了，最晚不能超过10点钟。Yes.
Put your jacket on, put your shoes on, take your beads, go and walk in the park. It's cold. Good. Keep chanting.
或者你爱 犯困的话，你就穿上外套，穿上鞋，到公园里面清晨的时候去念诵。如果说感觉比较冷，那这反而是件好事，因为可以让你更加的清醒。
Okay, we finished.
好，我们今天的课就讲到这里了。Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
非常感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
Thank you very much, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees for your wonderful questions.
感谢所有奉献者的好问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sanatan Goswami ki jai, Kashadesh Yatra ki jai, Go Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
Vaikuntha Jain Fu, 源于聆听下的奉献者们，大家，亲爱的奉献者们，我们今天的讲课就到这里结束了。我们现在呢，讲到的是 Chaitanya Charitamrita 用我们的 Chaitanya Jain 的 Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第23章已经结束，生命的终极目标，对守神的爱。下一周我们就要开始讲 Madhya Lila 的第24章了。如果大家还有问题的话，今天留存的，就是我们下周来回答。Hare Krishna。